Welcome to Heaven Touching Earth Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the power of prayer and how when we pray, heaven touches earth. My name is Pastor Gail Kroc, Executive Director of Spiritual Care. And today I'm excited to have somebody on the program with me named Sarah Sixbury, fresh out of California. And she was the head of a YWAM discipleship training school. You want to say hi, Sarah?
Hi, everybody. It's so exciting to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what you did in California at YWAM.
Yes. So a couple years back, I actually attended the discipleship training school, and then I came back this past August to be staff. And so during the fall, I actually helped teach evangelism training, preaching class, and I was a house leader for a lot of the discipleship students. And then this past spring, I got to lead a team on outreach, and we went to Iowa, Nebraska, South and North Dakota, and then I just returned to Michigan 5 days ago.
Well, I bet you saw the power of prayer in some of those states where you saw God move when you guys prayed. Can you share a story that you've seen?
Yes, I would love to. I love to talk about just how the Holy Spirit moves in and through prayer. A lot of the times before we go evangelize or on outreach or we even host worship gatherings, we will ask God what is coming against the room or what He wants to do that night, and we call it informed intercession, where we ask God, okay, God, would you speak to us what you want to reveal to specific people tonight, or is there any specific healings you want to do tonight? So one of the nights back in March, me and one of my other leaders felt that God wanted to heal legs in specific. And when we got to one of our worship nights, we saw a guy named Chris. We love Chris. We saw him on crutches, and me and one of my other teammates went up to him and kind of explained how we've seen God heal just in the past to raise his faith. And he had torn his ACL and his MCL 2 weeks prior to that, and he was in a lots and lots of pain. So me and one of my teammates, we prayed for him. We prayed for him a few different times, and each time the pain lessened in his leg and in his ankle, which was actually also broken. So we were praying for him, and every time the pain decreased, we would ask him to test it out, and he would. And eventually, he was standing without a brace on, without crutches on, and I felt that God said to have him go up and down the stairs, and by the time he got back down the stairs, he'd be completely healed and pain-free. So it's almost as if he had to walk out his healing before he was fully healed. So what happened was, we prayed for him probably about four different times, and then he walked up the stairs, came back down. By the time he got back down to where we were standing, he was completely healed. He had no pain. And then for the next week, we actually got to interact with him, and he went lifting. He actually maxed out when you squat, you can max out on weight, and he actually maxed out on his squat. So that was just one of the healings that we saw in and through an outreach. But prior to even healing him, God spoke to us in and through prayer that he wanted to heal somebody with pain in their legs. So Chris is thriving still to this day. He's playing baseball, and he wasn't supposed to play baseball this spring, and he is just on fire and filled with so much faith, and there's been so much testimony of him praying for his teammates and in and through his school, because he's a high schooler. So, yes, that's one of them.
That's an amazing. So what you're really saying is that when you prayed, God showed up.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we read about it in the pages of the Bible, and we think, well, that happened in the Bible, but is it still happening today, right? You probably run into people like that, right?
Yes, all the time.
So what I want people to know, and sometimes I know that what we're going to share today, it might bother some people's theology, but sometimes somebody's testimony about what God has done for them speaks so much louder than anyone's theological argument, maybe.
Yes.
So yes. A couple of scriptures I have. Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. James 5:17. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed, and it did not rain for over 2 years. Wow. I don't consider myself like Elijah, do you? But it says he was just like us, so my goodness. You know, Sarah and I are just ordinary people. We pray for people. We like to pray for people.
Yes.
We believe that when we pray, God will actually answer our prayers.
Yes.
Maybe not always in the way that I want. You know, I worked in a trauma center for 18 years. You know what? I hate to tell you this. I have prayed for more people that have died than actually that have lived. That's a horrible stat.
Yes.
But you know, sometimes, I'll give you an example of a healing God did. I was in an intensive care ward years ago and going to pray for this gentleman and the families all around me. And I'm just about ready to do a really nice healing prayer when the Holy Spirit says, "Don't you dare pray that prayer." And I'm like, "Why?" And the Holy Spirit says, "I'm taking him home to heaven today." And so I changed my prayer right in the middle of praying. I thought I was so cool that nobody saw it. Five years later, the family ran into me and said, "Do you remember us? You were praying for our dad, and you were about to pray a healing prayer, and you changed, and you didn't pray it." And they said, "You know what? We want to tell you something. That prayer you prayed brought our whole family to Christ." And I was like, "Really? I don't even remember. I remember praying, but I don't have a clue what I said." And sometimes we pray for things and they don't turn out the way we think. You know, my grandma, you're going to hear about her a lot with me. I had a grandma, and she taught me, "Gal, when you don't understand, you have to trust God." You know, they prayed in Acts 12, the early church prayed, and Peter was released from a prison where he was being guarded by four squads of soldiers. Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place where they were in was shaken. And Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." One day I was talking to the Lord about why he had allowed me to experience so many things that we won't get into today. Some of them are tormenting, and yet I've seen God move supernaturally. And the Lord took me to 1 John chapter 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested," that means in Christ, "we have seen it, we bear witness to it, and show it unto you, that eternal life, which was from the Father and manifested unto us." Now listen to this, verse 3. "That which we have seen, which we have heard, we declare unto you, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So you know what? The whole purpose behind me sharing and Sarah sharing what we've seen God do, heard God say, saw God show up, is that you might be able to put your faith in the living God and realize he's still alive. You know, I met the Lord. I accepted the Lord when I was 7. When I was 12, I had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Now, that's a whole nother story for another time, which I'm not going to get into today. That was definitely heaven touching earth. But when we pray, heaven touches earth. You know, it happens in the Bible. You read about it all the time. But I'm telling you, it still happens today. I'm going to share a story from Honduras, and I'm going to let Sarah share another story. We were in the mountain village of Santa Maria, and a guy came forward for prayer. His colon was so full of cancer that if you put any amount of pressure on the outside, it would put him in tremendous pain. We were praying, and all of a sudden, all the pain left the area of the colon. It's all gone. Well, he went back to the doctor and reported later that when he went back to the doctor looked at him and was amazed because he didn't have any more cancer. The cancer was completely gone. And you know, that's the God we serve. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got another story?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
So on outreach, this past April, we were in Harvey, North Dakota. Small town. a little, very, I would say very much, everybody knows everybody, right? So if something happens, the whole town would know. So the person we were staying with, my host is what I would call them, her dad actually knew the radio station host, and we got to talk to him about what we were doing there and what we were believing for that city and how we want to see God move. And he was actually one of the only ones that came to a worship night we were hosting. And his arm and his shoulder was, it was his rotator cuff. And he was currently in a sling, and he was going to get surgery that upcoming weekend. And everybody knew the radio host. Everybody, like, knew he was in a sling. So I was like, wow, if God could heal the right person in this town, it would catch like wildfire, and every single person would know that person was healed. So he actually came to one of our worship nights. We prayed healing over him, and it was probably one of the, I'm going to say, easier healings, because he was healed after a couple minutes. We said, Holy Spirit, come, heal his arm. And by the time we were done, he left the sling there, and he left the worship night, and the whole town started to hear about it. I have not heard as far as what happened after that, because we had to leave and go to the next city. But God came, and he healed the exact person he needed to heal for everyone to hear about it. And that was truly inspiring to me, because I have a huge heart for small towns, and small towns knowing that God can move and does move and does heal.
Well, that was an amazing story. Now, I got a grandma story for you. So I like to tell the story of my grandma. Mm. So my grandma got really deathly sick, and she was in intensive care. And the doctor said, Grandma's not going to make the night. She's going to die. Mm. And so grandma prayed, and the next morning she called the doctor to her room. And he goes, yes, and she says, I want you to know that I am not going to die, that I am going to get out of this hospital. And he says, well, how do you know that? She said, you know, I prayed, and last night Jesus talked to me, and he gave me 15 more years to live. Now, I got to tell you something. I learned back then that when Grandma told me something, to be quiet and listen, because she was right. Grandma got out of that hospital in 2 weeks. Listen to this. Grandma lived another 15 years. And then on her deathbed, when she was around 91, I came home to visit her, and she was hanging there between life and death, where the presence of God was in that facility where she was at. And we'd be sitting there all calm, and she'd be sleeping, and she'd sit right up out of a sound sleep and say, let's sing when we all get to heaven. She just like would scare me. So sing the wondrous love of Jesus, you know the song. And then she'd get done singing, lay back down and go to sleep. And she would tell me about the angels singing and about Jesus coming to talk to her and the presence of God. Man, you could feel it in the room. It was tangible. Heaven was not only touching earth, heaven was kissing earth. And then what she did is, I had to leave to go back to Bible college, and Grandma gave me this order. She said, now you're going to go to Bible college, and I'm going to die, and you are not to come to my funeral. I mean, who would disobey that? I don't want to get a spanking at the gate of heaven because I disobeyed Grandma. So what happened is my uncle told me that 4 hours before she died, she yelled out, can you see the bright land? Oh, it's so beautiful over there. Grandma's like, talk, telling my uncle all about heaven. And then she goes, there's my husband. He had died like 17 or 18 years prior. And then she goes, now her vitals are all good at this point. And she goes, there's Jesus. I'm coming now, Lord. And she sat up, took a deep breath, and was gone. Her vitals were gone. She checked out. My grandma walked right out of that earth suit right into the realm of heaven. And I'm like, oh, Lord, let me be able to die that way. That is the most awesome way to go. And I want her story to live on, because you know what? God healed her. She lived 15 years. Her prayers brought me back to Christ. And then she graduated and going to heaven. Now she's in heaven going, he's talking about me again. He's talking about me again. So it's kind of exciting to be on both ends, see people healed, and yet some of the most great times I've ever had is when I have been with people when they were graduating and crossing over from this life and going to heaven. Heaven is real. It's as real as this earth, and even more real. I would like to share that. Oh, he's real. So, but watch out. You're going to get me to preaching. So, Sarah, do you have another story on deck?
Yes, I could definitely talk about how the Holy Spirit comes when we ask.
All right.
So, set the scene. We're in a small town in Ankeny, Iowa. And there is this young man, he's 16 years old, fresh, just gave his life to the Lord the day prior. His dad and his mom both practice witchcraft and are both, they classify themselves as Satanists. So he is the only one in and through his family that actually believes in God and fights to see him move in his family. So he gave his life to the Lord on a Friday, and then the next day, so Saturday, at a worship night, I had given the opportunity for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and his hand shot straight up. And this kid, bless his heart, this kid was doing everything that you just don't want to do, right? Drugs, alcohol, he's 16. Stole a car at one point. So completely 180 degree turn. His hands shot straight up for receiving prayer, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And me and one of my outreach teammates walked over to him. Didn't even have to lay hands on him. We walked up and we said, Holy Spirit, come baptize him with fire. And immediately he started shaking under the power of God. And we saw God totally transform his mind into a new creation, and then he was also set free from generational curses that have been bounding him ever since he was born. And still to this day, he is going after the Lord like no other 16-year-old I've ever seen. And he prays with his two younger siblings all the time, and he's constantly preaching the gospel to both of his parents. And just the way that God truly can transform the mind and the heart is totally unfathomable to us, but he truly does do it, and it is all him.
So. You know what you're reminding me of, Sarah? A lot of this stuff at times we don't see in the church setting. In the Bible, says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when the power of God comes and touches a person's life, there will be manifestations at times. Let me ask you a question. If you took your hand and reached out and you took a hold of a 220 electric current line, don't you think you might manifest a little bit? I think you'd have a reaction.
Yes.
So you know what? We really want God to move today, and at Spiritual Care, we're very low key. We're trying to meet people where we're at, but we believe in a God who still transforms and heals from the inside out. And we know it's about his presence. And I'm going to share a story about my father, because sometimes sickness hits and it hits close to home. So he was going to a hospital and he was scheduled to have a treatment done where they take a needle and they go into the back and they put plastic in the spine and it fuses the vertebrae together. And that's supposed to be a pretty harmless procedure. But what happened to my father is he got MRSA staph infection. And all of a sudden, my dad was at one hospital and he began to cry out in pain. He was out of his head. He was in so much pain. They gave him all the Dilaudid you could give the guy, and it wasn't touching the pain. And so they transferred him to a big trauma center. So I was scheduled to go up and be with dad. And when I arrived, the surgeon had just walked out of the room and came to my mom, my brother, and my sister, and he says, well, guys, I got some bad news. That staph infection is wrapped around his spine. There's nothing we can do. And so the surgeon commences to ask, do you want us just to keep him comfortable? Now, I've been a chaplain, so I know doctor language. That means you want us just to keep him comfortable so he can die. And God spoke to my heart and said, It is not your dad's time to die. So I looked at that surgeon and I go, no, I do not want you to keep him comfortable. I want you to treat him. What can you do? He says, well, I could give him a cocktail of antibiotics. I said, you do that. And then I'm going to do what I do best. And my brother and my sister looked at me, what's Gail going to do? So they went in the room with me, and some people said I did this. I don't remember. I grabbed my dad. I mean, he's in pain. Who grabs a father that's in pain? And I shook him. I said, Dad, this is not your time to die. I'm going to anoint you with oil and pray and ask God to send the angels to minister to you. So, man, and so my brother said, well, that gives me hope. And my sister thought, well, I hope he's right. So we're on this limb, right? So I anoint my dad with oil and I pray and all that. And we don't see any visible sign. That was about 10 at night. And then at 4 a.m., my dad that doesn't talk about spiritual care, spiritual things, looks at my brother and says, I can see what you can't. And my brother goes, what are you talking about? He goes, there's angels coming to my bedside. And all of a sudden, he passed out, was free from pain, and was completely calm. And then the nurse came in, was more delighted, and my brother goes, no more drugs. He has been high enough as it is, and now he doesn't need the pain meds. And by the next morning, the surgeon was amazed. That staph infection was leaving his body. They didn't know how, but my dad got out of the hospital, lived another 7 years. And I'm going to tell you this story because I had another story around his death. He lived another 7 years. My dad was dying. He was at home with hospice. He was down to 2 heartbeats a minute. And a couple of breaths, he was cold and he was stiff. I said, well, I'm going to lay hands on him. I said to my sister and my brother, and going to pray that Jesus takes him home to heaven. So as I began to pray, my sister bent down and kissed him. All of a sudden, his heart rate went to 75 and his breath went to completely normal. And he's warm and he's looking at me like, I think I'm probably going to get in trouble when I go to heaven, because I think God pulled him out of heaven. And he was with us another 2 days, totally alert, looked at us. We prayed and sang songs around Jesus, around his bed, and glorified the Father. It was amazing. And then he passed away. I think God had a plan in his death. I mean, my sister yells out, Daddy! And we all, man, we just lost it. Oh, what an emotional moment. And he went home to be with the Lord. But I got another story I want to share with you before we kind of wrap it up. This was a young teenage girl I will never forget in intensive care. I was told that she wasn't going to live. She had a really bad puncture of the lung. But that her mind was good. So you got to never forget, people's minds are good. So I come walking in the intensive care ward and she motioned to me to come into her room. And I go, I'm the chaplain. And she seemed like somehow she knew that. And I pulled oil out of my pocket. And I said, now I have anointing oil. I'm a Protestant, though. Would you like to be anointed? And she shook her head, yes. So I would anoint her with oil and pray and leave. And in my line of work, I call it the hit and run method. God said, don't worry about the healings. Pray and leave. The results will catch up later. And so in my line of work, they either got better, they died, or they went home or went to rehab. So one day I come by and she was no longer there. I go, oh, well, she probably died. And that was all I thought about it. Well, a month later, that's a knock on the door, by the way. And I open the door and there's a young girl standing in front of me. And she said, do you remember me? And I'm like, well, let me look at you. You don't look like you do when you're in intensive care. You don't have a lot of clothes on and you're just like hair's a mess. And I saw that trach mark and I went, oh, I know, you're that young girl. And she goes, yes, I come by to say thank you. And I'm like, for what? All I did was pray. She goes, you don't know, do you? And I go, well, what is it that I don't know? She goes, well, when you came in the ward, you had angels with you. And the next thing she was about to tell me floored me. She said, you come pray for me and then you'd leave and they'd stay. And when they stayed, they worked on my body. She goes, I came back to say thank you for your prayers. And I said to her, young lady, give glory to God, forget you ever met me, and fulfill God's plan for your life. Do we have time for one more story? I can tell one more story. So working in a trauma center, I had working with hospitals, and even as a young pastor, I enjoyed going into rooms where people really had needs. So the nurse said to me one day, I got a person for you to pray for. They got a brain tumor in the center of the brain. They're in a lot of pain. I want you to go visit with them. So I walk in the room, and the lady, I go, I'm the chaplain. And the lady, first words out of her mouth, I want to get saved. First greeting. I said, pray after me. You don't need to give no one scripture. Pray after me. So I led her into prayer, and she goes, will you baptize me? Well, I'm a dunker, not a sprinkler. But so I went and I got an old styrofoam cup, and I baptized her. And I said, now, I think you believe in anointing with oil, right? She goes, correct. I said, I'm a Protestant. Can I anoint with oil? She goes, yes. I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in a language you don't understand, but I'm going to place my head right in the kind of like the center of your head. You just shut your eyes. And I was praying, and she goes, are you a healer? And I go, no, Jesus Christ. He's the only healer. And praying a little more, and she goes, are you a healer? I go, no, ma'am, I am not. I go, why are you asking me? She said, oh, the pain just left my head. I said, okay. And then I had to go out and do more things. I said, I know you're having surgery tomorrow, so I'll come around tomorrow evening, and I'll visit you and see how you're doing. So when I came back around to do rounds, I was like, she's setting up, she's smiling like a Cheshire cat, ear to ear, and I'm like, you don't look like someone that's had brain surgery. She said, well, he got in there a little bit, and there was no tumor. And he was mad, and he says, well, yesterday we had it on CT scan. Why isn't there a tumor in your head? What's going on? And she goes, well, the chaplain prayed for me and anointed me with oil. And this surgeon said, well, that'll do it. He threw his hands up in the air and he left. And she said to me again, are you a healer? I said, no, ma'am, only Jesus is. And I tell her the same thing. Give glory to God, fulfill God's plan for your life, and forget you ever met me. Because why? It isn't about me. I'm not the suit. Jesus is the one that heals. Jesus is the one that delivers. It's about his presence. And that's, you know, look, I think there's some people listening today, and you probably got some questions. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in his book before one of them come to be. I don't know why some people live to be 5, and some live to be 65, and some live to be 105. I cannot answer that question, but I will share this with you. If you are listening to me and you're struggling with sickness and you're sick in your body right now, this is what I want to say. My prayer for you is that you would live the full number of your days, that you would fill the destiny and the plan that God has for your life. And I believe that as I'm speaking, God can dispatch angels to your location, that his presence is flooding your room right now, right? You believe that too, Sarah?
Yes.
That Sarah and I, actually, we're going to pray for you in just a second, that God would help you to live the full number of your days. And maybe you're listening and you're kind of a skeptic. I like skeptics, actually. I hope through the testimony of what we have seen the Lord do, you too will accept Jesus and follow after him. And so why don't we pray for anyone that's listening who maybe is struggling with sickness or disease, or maybe they have a friend that is. Can you lead off and then I'll kind of follow behind, Sarah?
Yeah. And can I just say one thing?
Yeah. Say two things if you want.
Two things, okay. Really what it is, too, is a receiving of healing, as far as what I've seen. And in and through that, knowing God's character and knowing that he does heal and that he does want to. So let me just, I'll lead off.
Hang on, one more thought behind that. Because sometimes people feel like if they don't have enough faith that they might not get healed, and it ain't about that. Listen. The guy at the gate, Beautiful, was asking for alms. Mm-hmm. And Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we give to you. Rise up and walk. So I don't want you to worry about what you don't have. Just come to Christ with what you have. All right? Sorry, interrupted. Go ahead.
That's great. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit, ask that you come in and through every person that's listening, that you just bring deeper revelation of who you are, and we just speak full healing in Jesus' name. We just rebuke all sickness and anything that's trying to come against them right now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill afresh right now, that mm-hmm. their bodies and their minds and their hearts be aligned with their original design. In Jesus' name.
As Sarah was praying, I want to instruct you, if anyone that's hurt you, I want you to forgive anyone that has hurt you. Anyone that, you might say, why? Because forgiveness opens the door to healing.
Yes.
So if you carry an unforgiveness in your heart, release it right now.
Yes.
And I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. You are the great physician. You are the balm of Gilead. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would wrap your arms of love and care around everybody that will listen to this podcast. Lord, I pray that heaven would touch earth right where they're at. And I pray right now for your presence, and most of all for your love and your care. And like the good shepherd, put your arms of love around them. And Lord, if there's someone listening to this and they're not right with God and they want to get right with God, Lord, I pray that they would pray, Lord, I want to get right with you. Forgive me of my sins. I rededicate my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come into my life in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I also pray that if anyone's listening to this and they need to make a call to spiritual care because they need someone to pray for them or they want to go through some healing sessions, Lord, help them to reach out and pick up the phone and make the call in Jesus' name. Amen. The number is 269-929-2901. That's the number to call if you need help. Any closing thoughts, Sarah?
He loves it when you talk to him. God loves it when you talk to him. That's
so talk to Jesus, and thank you for joining us for the podcast, Heaven Touches Earth.